Welcome to Manager Tools. The Manager Tools Data Feedback, Part 3. This cast answers these questions. What are the data Manager Tools has gathered about delivering feedback? How have you gathered data about how to deliver feedback? How did you develop the Manager Tools feedback model? Well, if you want answers to those questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, if you're interested in learning more about how to give feedback, and more broadly, one-on-ones and coaching and delegation, you'll want to come to one of our virtual Effective Manager conferences. We have two coming up. This cast is coming out in early April. We have one coming virtual EMC starting on April 13th, and then another one starting on May 4th. Those are multiple sessions. They're done over Zoom. I don't think any session is longer than 2 hours because we know we can't keep you in a room in a Zoom room for 8 hours. And we cover all the basics and we answer all your questions. We get the exact same satisfaction scores from virtual as we do from in person, which shocks me. But apparently people are getting used to being in a Zoom world. So April 13th, May 4, virtual EMCs. Come to the website and sign up. If you have questions, send mail.
We talked at length in the last couple shows about the Trinity derivation data and how we got to the Trinity,
right?
Which is really important information to have before talking about feedback specifically. So let's get into the feedback model data.
Yeah. So I thought rather than going through every study and so on, I'd start with some highlights regarding all the data we've collected about feedback over the years that I suspect will both please and also just whet the appetites of some of our listeners, but we don't have time to do a year's worth of cast about all the data and correlations and coefficients and so on.
For those of you, for those of us who like data, there's never enough. So no, don't even try.
Yeah. Well, as we ended the show last week, you know, I said we, you know, people ask us for our data and then they say, well, you really haven't shared the data, so I can't change without having data. I said, well, what are you doing now relative to management? Well, I do certain things. This, and I said, what data do you have on that? And he said, well, I don't have any. I said, oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like a defense mechanism. Anyway, so here are our highlights. We have tested various versions of our feedback model on over 250,000 managers and their direct reports worldwide. Okay. Let's start at a really high level analyzing some of the results of that. There is no appreciable difference in performance or performance improvements using the feedback model or not, according to geography.
Okay, so that one listener we have in North Korea, it's going to work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We have tested our models on every continent in the world, except, as we always say, Antarctica. No people, no budget, no golf. there was never any evidence that any national or social or regional culture made any difference when managers, this is important, when managers first built trust and then provided both positive and negative feedback. Differences were basically negligible. Now, folks, that's important that you notice that there. We did not teach feedback alone. And I get into this conversation with people who say they love data all the time. And they say, well, you'd need to do a standalone evaluation of feedback. No, you wouldn't. And folks, we love you. We love the community, but you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. If you're a medical professional and you're doing a study of two different drugs and one drug has a 10x efficacy of the other one and the risk associated with the other one are life-threatening, you stop the other test. Okay. You don't do medical tests. You don't do corporate tests for science. Okay. You don't. That's one of the reasons why there's frustration in the world about climate science. This is our world. And you're not just doing a scientific experiment. You're using that scientific experiment to determine what to do. And to say that, well, you should test feedback alone is to say we should put a bunch of managers through hell because it might be interesting to some other manager on how he or she learns management. And that's just not so. What we know based on our data is that managers who build trust do better and a lot better than people who don't. We also know that higher trust scores lead to better outcomes when it comes to performance communications, almost any type of performance communication. And that's why we did different studies of our feedback model to figure out which was the best type that we could determine. Now, there are some people who say, well, I don't like your feedback model. Okay, that's fair. I would argue that's not science, but it's fair, and I'm okay with that. And you should use another model, and hopefully our guidance on the fundamental principles of management, which aren't one-on-ones feedback and coaching, but rather developing trust with your people, you know your people, talk about performance, ask for more, push work down. Use your own model to determine what would be the most effective way to do that. But we have never tested the feedback model without first teaching managers how to build trust with one-on-ones. And the reason why is the most important thing we know about management is building trust. And so we came up with a tool called one-on-ones. And if a client is paying us to help their managers and we're asking them to fund research to help that the next time we help their managers, it will be that much better, rather than us just guessing in a lab somewhere what might work, then we can't say, well, let us test these managers over here just giving feedback without giving them the tool of trust through one-on-ones. Okay, so going further, there's no appreciable difference in performance improvements when feedback was introduced based on sex or race. Performance improvements were roughly equal whether the race or sex of the manager was the same as or different from the recipient of the feedback. None of that matters. White people are not better at managing black people. Black people are not better at managing white people. Men are not better at managing men or women, or vice versa. Now, there are plenty of people in the world who believe that there are racial or sexual differences. We have data. It's not so. All races and sexes improve roughly the same when receiving more feedback. Now, notice what we just said there, when receiving more feedback. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about going from 0 to 1. That technically, that's more, but that's on an on-off switch. That's different. As we have never achieved a situation where when we ask managers to give more and more feedback, that performance improvements stopped increase, that performance stopped improving. The greatest improvements in performance that we observed occurred when previous feedback was non-existent. In other words, going from 0 to 1. And we're very nearly so. I mean, there might be anecdotal or episodic comments regarding, oh, my boss did talk to me about this or that. And so technically, I guess that's performance communication. But that might happen twice a year. We consider that in the same thing as these people don't give feedback, don't get feedback. But I want you to also know, all of our estimations are based on comments from directs, not from managers. Why? Because of our next point. It generally doesn't matter whether a manager thinks they give a lot of feedback to their directs. We learned, we did it wrong in the beginning. We learned to measure the perceptions of directs' reception of feedback, not managers' attempts to deliver it. Now, what that means is there were plenty of cases, and I can picture some of them on a sheet of paper right now, but long lost to history, but I can remember being in an office in Natick, Mass., not far from the Army Research place that Mike used to make MREs or designed MREs and C rations, I think. And noticing very clearly that there were a whole lot of managers that vastly overestimated what they were saying they were giving feedback about and how often they were giving feedback. And they were very surprised that when their names came out on the charts, and yes, we shared these with clients because our job was helping them improve, not gathering data. Our data gathering was science in the service of professionalism, not pure science. Even though we followed all the general rules of making sure our data was clean and analyzing the data, and we couldn't do double blind, obviously, but we did everything we could to be professional about our data gathering. But you know, some managers said, well, I gave a lot more feedback than him and I'm not getting improvements. And I, you know, we would have to say, Yeah, that's because you said you gave a lot of feedback, but the delta between what you said you did and what your people said you did are very distinct. And you said, well, I got to go talk to my people. I don't know what they think. You know, okay, great. Well, and then we would go tell their people, hey, your boss found out that you think he gives less feedback than he thinks. So you need to be prepared for that. So, and it happened. And we had some more senior people say to the manager, no, don't. We agreed that the measure of this would be whether or not the direct felt that they got feedback. We only measured the effect of our feedback model one time in which a group of senior executives were included. We looked at performance improvements, but we basically ascribed pretty low confidence to the data because the percentage of study participants, they were all executives, who notably increased their performance communications was below 50%. What that basically means is the people who paid us to do the studies maybe weren't willing to eat their own dog food. And we didn't have big enough numbers that I'm going to fall on my sword about them. And, you know, you might believe that's even more true when we tell you that performance improvements, generally speaking, were greatest at the lowest levels of organizations. Now, I'm going to flip that on its head, and I'm going to say something that the data don't say, but I'm going to draw inferences, which everybody always does. That's because people at the lowest end of the organization get the least amount of feedback, which is funny because, you know, I would say I know plenty of managers and directors and senior directors say I get no feedback at all. Like, well, yeah, your directs get even less than that. But let's be clear, there was a measurable increase, or there was a higher statistically significant measurement of the amount of feedback that or improvement that lower level people in the organization, frontline managers, superintendents, supervisors, and individual contributors got. But there were also notable improvements in performance at all levels. It worked at every level. The only place we didn't really have great data was the most senior level. And by the way, we asked senior people all the time, and most of them said, I'm not doing that. Now, to be fair, it was, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, no, maybe even more than that, where an executive said to me, Mark, senior people don't get feedback. And I said, no, okay, well, maybe they should. And in this case, I think maybe they should as an example setter for the people in their organization. But hey, okay. And he said, you're not getting it. You don't know the rest of that joke. And I said, what joke? He says, senior people don't get feedback. Their feedback report is reported quarterly, every quarter, in the Wall Street Journal. Meaning, if you're running a for-profit organization, your results come out, and that's all that matters, is your results. And sustained results, obviously. Okay, more highlights. The largest improvements in feedback that we measured occurred. Now, I want each of you who are listening to finish that sentence in your own head. The largest improvements in feedback we measure occurred. I'm going to take a sip of coffee here. Don't write me a note and say, you wish I hadn't. I have some post-nasal drip today. The largest improvements in feedback we measured occurred when managers gave only positive feedback.
Yeah, now, that's surprising to a lot of people, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, but you can't stop there. It's just like the executives joke about you know, feedback for executives in the Wall Street Journal. Because the nature of the way we taught feedback was that almost always occurred as a function of starting to give feedback with only positive feedback to directs who had reported getting none to very little. Because on the other hand, we might have started by telling managers to give negative feedback. We never did.
There was a reason. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the reason we never did, and so therefore we have no data on that, was because managers, when we practiced with them in training sessions to teach them the various models we rolled out over time, when we gave them negative feedback, when they tried a brand new model, a model they hadn't used before, and tried to give negative feedback, they screwed it up. And so we said, well, okay, just do positive. Now, here's what's interesting about that. I had a conversation about this with a guy in Silicon Valley a few months ago. And he said, well, that kind of invalidates all the data.
Okay. All right. Like,
you know, okay, fine. You know, you really don't know what you're talking about.
Not all the data.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What it invalidates is me listening to you ever again, you chowderhead. But But here's what's interesting about that. We didn't do positive feedback first because we wanted to study positive feedback first. We did it because in the field, negative feedback and positive feedback both were negatively affected if managers tried to do them both at the same time. Again, this is not science for science's sake. This is science for managers' sake. And what we discovered was when we finally figured out, just tell them to do positive feedback first and teach them with positive feedback examples, boy, things went much more smoothly. Now, does that mean that an artifact of the studies are that the improvements always happened when they were getting positive feedback? Yes. Can you then draw the conclusion that maybe the predicate for the improvement is not positive feedback? You could. You could argue that it's simply more feedback going from zero to one. And I wouldn't argue that.
Well, I think our recommendations are also based on real world situations, right? We're hired to help people make differences in the organization. And if the model suggests, well, we didn't test it, right? But if the model suggested give negative feedback first and nobody is willing to do it, well, we're not going to be very effective, right? I mean, it has to be at least on the borderline of acceptable to people to do it. Doctor recommends that I work out every day. Well,
yeah.
I'm not doing that. As a matter of fact, my son the other day said, I have this program I'm doing. He lost a lot of weight in the last like 3 weeks. And it required me to work out 2 hours every day. I was like, well, dude, I won't do it. I mean, it might be healthy. It might be great for me. I don't have 2 hours a day, right? So give me something I'm capable of doing, please.
Right. Yeah. Let's continue. So we've already touched on this, but I'll say it again because it's got its own paragraph. All of our data was gathered from managers who had already been working on building trust with their directs. And now, mind you, all of our data was gathered. All of our data on feedback and performance communications was gathered. This cast is about feedback. This is an artifact of the nature of our consulting and training engagements, where we always taught one-on-ones before we taught and measured feedback-driven performance improvements. Look, guys, we agree. We consider that a weakness in the pure science of this data, but we don't care. We weren't doing pure science. We're using science in the service of humankind, which is kind of what science is for. And we will not ever attempt to correct this, so don't ask us to. We believe that would be unethical. We have enough anecdotal evidence it wouldn't work. Higher trust scores, next point, highest trust scores, as measured from the point of view of the direct, not the manager, always showed a positive correlation with greater improvements in direct's performance. Meaning, you start doing one-on-ones, you improve your trust, that builds a framework so that you can then start giving feedback. And when you start giving feedback, trust continues to go up. Why? Okay, now, this is where I say to everybody, numbers don't lie, but we lie about numbers. So you may consider this not to be scientific. I would agree. However, I think I'm closer to the science than anybody else since I was the one paying for all these things. And basically, what it boiled down to was, I believe directs know that managers owe them performance communications. And that directs that push back in today, directs who push back against managers who are giving them feedback. In some cases, those directs are simply asserting themselves and they wish not to pay the tax that one is required to pay to join an organization to benefit humankind by the magnificent multiplication of human effort that occurs when humans join together. But I think that's the minority. I think the majority of directs push back because they don't trust their boss. And the reason they don't trust their boss is their boss isn't trustworthy. And the reason the boss isn't trustworthy is because they haven't done the hard work of building a trusting relationship with their direct. Or if you, in fact, individually, dear sir or ma'am, are trustworthy, remember that they bring all of their previous, your directs bring all of their previous boss relationships to you. And they plaster it over your face. And if they've had 5 bad bosses, you're going to struggle to make a difference, which is one of the reasons why Manager Tools exist, so there'll be less bad bosses. That's why we tell people all the time, I dearly hope, one of my fondest wish for all of you as your children grow up is that the first boss isn't a jerk, because that's when the lessons sink in the deepest, and it will take them longer to overcome that. Folks, it's roughly 6 months until our M conference happening 27 and 28 October in Chicago. There are still some slots left. For those of you who don't know, the M conference is about those of you who are interested in becoming executives someday. We will be talking about executive tools there. Executive Tools launches this June, and we have a stellar lineup of speakers. So good, in fact, that it looks like I'm not going to have to speak for a change. The M conference we did 2 years ago, obviously we didn't have one in the year that shall not be named with a number due to the pandemic, but 2 years ago was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life, to have 50 really impressive people come together, and the networking is still occurring. So if you're interested in growing your career and growing your network, because that's a part of the conference, come to our website, sign up for the Web M Conference 27, 28 October in Chicago. I really hope to see you there, shake your hand, and learn your story. Okay, let's continue. Managers' estimation of trust levels with their directs, this is so good, were virtually always higher, and in some cases, magnificently higher, than directs' estimation of the level of trust. I mean, significant margins. Like one group, I don't know, I think it was like 600 managers. The average manager on a scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, you told the manager, hey, how much do your directs trust you? And they said 7. And we asked the directs, and the answer was 3. I mean, that's a lot. Every time directs reported managers spending less time, listen to this now, those of you who find our model difficult because you want to have a dialogue with your directs, which, by the way, we just finished a great cast, long cast on. Every time directs reported managers spending less time on each instance of feedback, the amount of feedback directs reported receiving increased. Duh. The longer, and the converse of that, I assume, is true, that the longer a manager believes it will take him or her to give feedback, the less often they'll do it. Now, some people say, oh, you know, your feedback model is too short. Okay, let's compare the amount of feedback and performance improvements. Let's go. Come on. Feedback amounts were always less. Here's a great one for pandemics. Feedback amounts. Amounts of feedback reported being received by directs were always less where feedback was reduced when managers were not co-located with their directs.
Yeah, remote management's harder.
Right? Yeah, remote management is harder, and part of management is giving feedback, and so feedback is harder too. And in fact, not just less, but usually we're receiving much less than when compared to a similar team that is co-located.
Yeah, not 9 versus 10, right?
No, yeah, exactly, yeah. And I'm sure somebody's going to write and say, because I don't have the numbers and the correlations and coefficients, you know, I can't trust your data. Okay. Our results generally follow the concepts illustrated by the Allen curve, which is probably the least talked about, most impressive little bit of science you could possibly imagine. And if you don't know the Allen curve, we probably don't have time to talk about it today. But I will tell you, if you think when your people go away from you, the fact that you have so many technological tools means you will have the same amount of communication with you, you're smoking crack. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, it falls off very, very rapidly, right? It's almost like off a cliff, right?
All the data show that your tools don't make any difference. And the distance is 60 meters, folks. 60. Not a zip code, not an area code, 60 meters.
I think it's even worse than that. I think at like at 8 meters, the amount of communication goes down. From 30% to 10% or something like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We're just saying at 60 meters, it goes to zero.
Yeah.
Marginally exactly. Zero. Right. It's asymptotically zero. Okay. Feedback, and we've been talking about feedback, and we assume that you understand our vernacular, which is what we mean when we say feedback, was in all of the studies that we have talked about here defined as manager to individual direct performance communications, only a single direct. Group thanks, praise, shotgun negative feedback, not counted as feedback. And for the record, managers often considered such group praise as performance communication, and directs did not. Okay. You walking out of your room and saying, hey guys, great meeting today. Really, really good. Lots of good stuff going on there. That's not feedback. I'm not saying they don't say, yeah, I heard him say it, but they don't consider it to be performance communications. I'll also say something else that's not in our data. If you want your annual performance reviews to not be a problem, to not have to make it a wordsmithing exercise, to be just blunt and candid, start doing your job and giving people more performance communications. That's the problem with performance reviews, separate from the fact that they should never have been shared with people to begin with. Skip level feedback is not feedback, according to our data, our models in these studies. Because we didn't gather trust scores for skip-level directs. That's easy enough. If a manager left an organization for any reason or changed jobs at any time during a study, meaning their team changed, all their data was removed from the data set and not considered when we compiled or calculated it. If a direct left or changed jobs, all instances of performance communication received by that direct were scrubbed from the data. If someone new joined a team after we'd already started the study, they were not included in the study. Now, let's go the other way, which is why the data scientists who accost me on the street corner, I have to roll my eyes sometimes. We have never tested the removal of feedback in an organization. Okay, you know, you don't, hey, this drug, it's in a test. It seems to be working. Let's take it away and see what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Now, look, we had talked about it. Because, look, feedback is not drugs. But performance improvements and trust and the growth in trust made it unethical, right? And no organization that we would have talked to would have, I mean, we talked to some of them. They wouldn't agree to it. No. Why would we stop doing this?
It's like
things are getting better.
A CEO proving like the stopping of selling of a product
that's
highly successful just to test whether profits go down.
Profits go down. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Profits pretty quickly shoot to zero, in fact. Actually, they go less than zero since you're probably still producing it if all you did was stop selling it. We do not have data on whether feedback continued at the same rate once it was not measured. I don't know, guys. We didn't measure it. Our assumption was that Goodhart's law would manifest itself. But perhaps, we believe in the inherent goodness of humankind. And so the managerial self-interest and professionalism might have caused feedback to continue. I think anecdotally, it probably dropped because they knew they weren't being measured. Why? Because of the greatest management principle in the world. The things that get measured are the things that get done. Okay. All that said, that's a general overview. Now, look, guys, at some point, there's some history is in order here. When we first started teaching feedback techniques, we were nowhere near where we are today. Nowhere. During the time we were gathering feedback data, both our feedback model and even our one-on-one models were changing. And some people will say, you'll listen and you'll say, some people will say, a multivariate analysis is necessary to separate the effects of feedback from one-on-ones. Guys, we don't disagree if you were studying aliens and test tubes. However, again, this is not science for science's sake. Our data is rare in that it is actually gathered in real managerial situations. Unlike Harvard Business Review, where they do studies with students and they say, try this and then do this. I will never forget the HBR study that they made a big deal out of and then got published in all kinds of other things because it sounded cool and it wasn't just managerial, that if you check on your people too much, which they then translated into a headline of micromanagement, that's really bad for performance. And the study was a whole bunch of college kids getting paid to do a test where one group had a 30-minute test and they got to take the test, and then when it was over, they turned it in. The other group, every 10 minutes or when they turned a page, they had to raise their hand and somebody came over and just checked that they had finished the page. And those people did less well. Proof that micromanagement is a bad idea. I mean, why do I have to defend our science? And then people read that and go, see, micromanaging is bad. Mm-hmm. I think people are looking for stuff, data, science, numbers, studies to support their own biases. Often we were asked to gather data on aspects of trust or feedback, which would have been scientifically interesting, but not in the service of the organization. When we were found we were doing some work at a big insurance company outside Philadelphia, and a friend of a friend at Wharton said, boy, that'd be great. You know, I can have my guys here in the business school, you know, work up some additional questions, and we'll come over, we'll ask all the questions, and you know, we won't spend any of the budget or, you know, whatever, and we could talk about the data and so on. Like, what do you need that for? He said, well, it'll be interesting. I said, well, you're going to have to give it to the client because you're going to be talking to the client managers and their directs. Oh, no, we couldn't give it to the client. Like, you know, this is, we're doing this for research. Yeah, okay. No. Sorry, no. Now, look, it could be argued that those outcomes could have helped us or could have also dampened the power of the remaining data. But look, regardless of that, we had a simple choice. Do we wish to prioritize the gathering of data at the expense of organizational performance and professional lives and careers? Or do we prefer to continue gathering data about things we're trying to do to make lives here better? But look, again, I'm just going to say gathering all this data required science, but it was not a purely scientific endeavor. We were attempting to further the science, if you will, of managerial success. We were not trying to further the science, but we were trying to help managers and organizations. Simple. Now, look, we encourage those of you who wish to dig deeper regarding these issues, because we're happy to tell you what things we didn't do or that we weren't good at or that surprised us. We encourage you to undertake that effort with your own data set. We couldn't do that, guys. Sorry. And we never will. We never measured performance improvements from one-on-ones at the same time as we measured performance improvements from increased feedback delivery, because we never taught them at the same time. Right? So what I mean by that is we didn't have any manager group ever start doing one-on-ones at the same time they started feedback, because we taught them both at the same time and they did them both at the same time. Now, I will tell you that managers had to prove to us that they continue to do one-on-ones when they were giving feedback. Although, once managers saw the one-on-one data they were getting regarding trust, we didn't have to encourage them very much, because they were like, hey, look, there's a measure. Okay, I'll continue doing it. We never taught nor measured the effects of feedback, again, without training and measuring one-on-ones first. And look, guys, consider this a warning. If you want to try giving feedback without building trust first, good luck. You know, take your car, point it at the cliff, put it in gear, and floor it. We don't recommend how you would do something that we don't recommend you do. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I get that question all the time.
Hard to understand.
Yeah. Look, now, what this means, guys, if you think through, all performance improvements from feedback that we measured occurred on top of or in addition to performance improvements won by conducting one-on-ones. We found this incredibly significant, but it is rarely considered by most people when asking about the data.
So, dude, I think we've been going over half an hour now. I think that's a good place to break, and then we can...
I could keep going.
Yeah, I know you can.
I got more.
Yeah, we'll finish this one up next week.
We'll finish it up?
I think so. You think? Maybe?
Not even close.
Not even close? Okay. All right. Good enough.
I don't know. I like this stuff. I like people. When people come to me and say, what's the data? I said, you know, go listen to the podcast. It's like 2 hours long.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It will save you a lot of time in the future.
Yeah.
It's interesting stuff. And, you know, for me, when I hear the data and I walk through all this with you, just makes me feel better about doing it, right? I didn't need it.
Absolutely.
I didn't need the data because right. I have an experience of using it. And
yeah.
Mark, you're so surprised. Like, I did what you said, and it worked.
Yeah.
My whole organization did it, and it worked. They loved it. So I don't need the data. I'm kind of practical that way. Like,
didn't you have one of your senior managers said, this horseman effect is great. And I said, it's not me. It's you. It's what you're doing differently.
That's right. Yeah. I think people, probably if you've been a long-time listener, you've heard the story about managers, you know, coming into my office crying. I was like, what is wrong? I said, what's wrong? And she goes like, I just got to tell you, this training you have us going through, like, it has fundamentally changed my relationship with my people,
yeah,
with my customers. It's changed my relationship with my spouse. I said, whoa, come on, stop.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah. That's the kind of impact this stuff has on people's lives. And it had with me as well. And I don't need the data. Like, it's, yeah, I'll do this, it works, then fine. But I do like data.
And it
gives me incentive to keep on doing it. So
yeah, exactly.
Awesome, my friend. Okay.
All right, thanks, partner.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week.